Well, I'm glad we all had a good afternoon. We are starting our third session, a quick review. I do not know Buddy the Elf, and you cannot lose weight by just simply reading about it, all right? Summed up the last two sessions. Actually, we've got hopefully a little bit more into that. So we've been talking about this idea of living as an everyday missionary over the last two sessions. What does it look like to continually reorient around Jesus, identify the place and the people in which we have been sent to, how we actually live in those places, and really by engaging in those places is going to be one of the primary ways we grow as followers of Jesus. Now, this session, I hope that we can maybe look to Jesus, but also discern what are just some real practical things we can do to live as Jesus. Like, we've kind of got some of the big picture, yes, be a blessing, yes, like, be kind and make the world a better place and bring in the light of heaven, you know, make things look more like heaven and earth. Those are all good, but can we bring it in just a little bit more and be a little bit more specific on maybe some ways that we can join Jesus as individuals, as families, in his mission, in the places that he has sent us. So, as we begin, get everybody involved, and it's not just me up here talking for the next 15 minutes, I want to encourage you all to do a little discovery, kids and adults alike. Does that sound good? Are we up for a little discovery? It's like an escape room with no trailers in the Bible said. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to divide you all up into small groups, and there are going to probably be 10 groups, and there'll probably be two for each number. There might even be three for each number. But what we're going to do is we are going to take about 10 minutes. We are going to read the passage together. And we are going to ask, what do you notice or what do you see? And specifically, what do you notice or what do you see in the life of Jesus? What is it that he is doing? And then I want you guys to talk about it. And at the end, you can either say it. While you're together, you can just simply write it down. Or we can pull out that Play-Doh again and we can create something. Okay? But because reading is involved, and it would be fun to hear from kids and adults alike, you don't have to be with your family, but I would like for adults to mix with kids. And kids, the old people need you, okay? You're getting older, losing it, they need some really smart, bright, I'm just kidding. They need some smart, bright teenagers, young, elementary age students to help them in discovery, okay? So, some of you and that aren't sitting with parents or family, I would like for you to disperse and to find an adult of some sort. An adult, if you see a young person near you, just say, hey, come be in our group. And so I am going to try my best to see. Actually, I have no idea how to split you up. I am not organized in this capacity on how to do this. I should have pre-thought this. But we need probably three groups on each number. So we probably need a total of 15 groups. Should I just like walk through and be like, you guys get together? Is that the easiest? All right, time is up. Very good. Good stuff, you guys. All right, we're going to pray and close and go to dinner. I think you guys got it all figured out. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We are going to start with the ones, and then we're going to go twos, threes, fours, and fives. Each group has a spokesperson. We're going to try to do this somewhat quickly, but one of the good things, though, is I want you to hear what other people discovered in a passage, or what did they notice in it. And we're going to see if we can pull out some things, maybe, that someone did that we two could also do. Does that sound good? Oh? You know, I think that is a brilliant idea. Thank you. She always has the best ideas. All right. Thank you, Laura. Okay, good stuff. All right, so groups, group number one. Where's the group number? If you're one, can you raise your hand? Okay, we'll start right here. And, oh, you're the spokesperson. Perfect. No, you don't have to read the passage. Yes, that'd be great. Whatever you would like. Share with us what you...
Jesus led children and valued the children. We need to learn, like, the children's faith and kids, their faith is, like, they don't ask as much questions. They just trust without, because they know that their parents will tell them the truth, and so they just believe without asking questions.
Great job. Thank you. What any other number ones? Where are the other number ones in the room? Okay, just let's go around to the number ones. Go ahead. And if you have something you created, please show us what you created as well.
All right. We made a little person out of Play-Doh with open arms.
Look at all these people. I love it.
It was supposed to symbolize how Jesus let the little children come to him.
Very good. I love that. Good job, you guys. Fantastic. I love the people you made. Any other ones? Back there in the back?
Yeah, we noticed that, first of all, how the disciples were just really out of step with Jesus.
Yeah, yep.
They were trying their best, but they were out of step.
Yep.
And that Jesus was affirming childlike trust and simplicity that marks those who come into his kingdom.
Right. Good job. Any other ones, or was that it? Any other ones? Oh, here's the one. Oh, your one? Okay, perfect. Right over here.
Yeah. So we saw that it says, if you don't receive the kingdom of God like a child, you won't enter the kingdom at all. Mm-hmm. And so there's no other way into the kingdom except to come into it as a child. And just that children come in without having all the other baggage that adults tend to bring in to life with them. Like just all the other things that as life goes on, bad things start to turn you away from the Lord, and children come into it with that innocence and just trusting without having all these other doubts on top of it.
So, right. Job, guys. All right, give it up for our ones. All right, was there one word that it said towards the end that Jesus did to them?
Bless them.
We'll expand on the blessed part in a little bit. Okay, who are the number twos? Raise your hands high. Number two speaks, spoke the prequel. All right, number two, right here. We'll just walk around the room.
All right, our spokesperson changed her mind.
No worries.
Okay, we have, are you going to hold up our model? We have Jesus eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, and also that he brought his friends with him. He brought the disciples with him.
Love that. Beautiful. Very good. Look at that creation. Good job, you guys. Who are the other number twos? Number twos, right here.
We said that Jesus had a lot of friends in low places. And Jesus liked the good party.
My kind of guy. That's great. I love it. I love it. He listened to a little Garth Brooks. He was inspired. All right, any other twos? Okay, right there? Right there?
Yeah, we said that he came for sinners, not for the righteous.
Beautiful. Good job, guys. And the other number twos?
His fight number?
We would add to that he was also friends with tax collectors and sinners.
Ah, friends. Perfect. I love that.
He would call people and they would just follow him.
Yep, they would call people and they would just follow him. Beautiful. Good job, you guys. Way to go, number twos. All right, here come hands. All right, number three. We'll start from over here. Any number threes over here? Threes, okay? Over there, we've got a three. Oh, no.
So we have Jesus slipping off when nobody would have noticed him to go pray in the quiet place.
Okay, great.
And he compares himself. He says that the Father can, or the Son can do nothing without the Father. So both passages kind of show his dependence on the Father.
Beautiful. Love that. Good job, you guys. All right, other threes? Other threes? We got one and two, okay? Perfect.
we created praying hands.
Look at that.
Okay, so like they said, we, if we were going to apply this to ourselves, we intentionally disconnect with the world to seek guidance, asking God to show us what He is doing so we can go and do likewise with Him.
Mm. Wonderful. Good job, you guys. Great creation. The last number three.
We had that the Son could not do nothing without the Father, and He always prayed to the Father to discern His will.
Ah, that's great. Love that. And good job, you guys. That's all the number threes. Good job, threes. And then fours. Let's see fours over here. One right here. Hey, is this good, you guys?
All right, in Luke 10, we see Jesus traveling with his friends and entering different villages, goes into a home of Mary and Martha where he sits to teach.
Okay, very good. What else?
We had talked about how Jesus was traveling with his friends, but that he was invited in, that he was welcomed into Martha's home, and how that's important just to welcome Jesus into your life, so to know what he's asking of you. And then the other part of that that Martha got distracted by serving. So you can get distracted sometimes by good things and lose the true sense of what you're trying to do. And it was being with Jesus, and she was more distracted by good things.
Oh, that's great. Great observations, you guys. Good stuff. All right, any other fours over here? Where's the fourth? One of the four? Probably where I've miscounted.
So we basically came up with just looking at the example of needing to set right priorities and how we have God-given responsibilities. Some of those are doing things around the house, but making sure that we're being intentional about putting God first when He needs to be, and learning that choice of setting the right priorities.
Mm, great. Good stuff, you guys. All right, then five. Let's give fours a hand. All right. Okay, then five. Last five. Where are we? Got one right here. One right there. And then any others? No. Further.
Okay. We had that Jesus came down to do God's will on earth.
Perfect. Good job, guys. I'll take it over here to him. All right. Good job. Oh, was there one right here?
We have that Jesus sacrificed his will for God's good will, and he trusted and relied on the Spirit for the words, that nothing was prepared.
Mm, that's good. Good stuff. And then one more five? Was there one more back here? Oh, there you go.
We talked about how Jesus' will was aligned with the will of the Father, and that it was out of that sense of relationship with the Father that he wanted the same thing that the Father wanted, which was to have a relationship with us.
Beautiful. Was there, for fives, was there a word in those passages that was similar to some of the words we've been talking about? There you go, you guys. Somebody give them some Oreos or something. I love it. They're on top of it. Good job. All right. Give fives a hand. All right. Great job, you guys. If nothing else, I hope this was a wonderful exercise to see that amongst families and intergenerational, very quickly we can discern some things, and very quickly we can learn some things that we could quickly, easily replicate and do together. I love this up here. Thank you, Laura, for writing some of that down. As we think of ways that we can actually join Jesus in his mission, ways that will transform the world around us, while at the same time, ways that will transform us, we have stumbled across some practices, or another way to put it is some habits or rhythms in our life as a family that we have been doing for over the last 10 years. Now, I know we've said earlier, we don't necessarily think our way into a new way of acting, but oftentimes we act our way into a new way of thinking. You see, this was a very Old Testament, Hebraic way of living. There was based around practices and rituals, because it was in the practices and the rituals that transformed people's lives. We see this all throughout the Old Testament. It wasn't into more of the Roman times, the Roman days, where they began to look more into the Hellenistic, is what they call it. I don't even know what that word means, kiddos, so don't worry. But it was a time period which kind of heightened the awareness of information, and there was a shift away from practice and ritual to information and understanding. But if you look at the ways of Jesus, oftentimes we hear him say things like, go and do, baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do. He says the Holy Spirit will come and will remind them of all the things I taught them to do. And so there are some rhythms and some practices that we can learn from the life of Jesus that we can quickly and easily embed into our own lives, that I promise you will put you in a place to join Jesus in his redemptive mission in the world. And it will also put you in a place to be transformed by him as well. And so what I want to do is I want to take a few moments to unpack five quick practices that you could easily, as a family, embed into your life. All right? So these practices come in the wonderful acronym of the word bells. And when you think about a bell, what do you think of a bell doing?
Ringing.
And it rings in rhythm, back and forth, back and forth. And this is what we want these practices to be like in our lives, a rhythm. When we first had a paradigm shift, we found ourselves going through seasons where we were either doing a whole lot, and it was kind of haphazardly, and we didn't really know what we were doing and where we were doing it, and we were wearing ourselves out, or we found ourselves in a space where we were doing nothing because we worn out. So for us, we needed something that would help guide us. Additionally, we found ourselves in seasons where all we were with were people that were not yet Christ followers. And then we found ourselves in seasons where all we were with were people that were Christ followers. And again, we felt like we needed some sort of rhythm to help guide our life. And not some random rhythm, but something that reflected the life and the heartbeat of Jesus. And I think in some of the things that you just mentioned are things that some of that these practices are based out of. So the very first practice that I think we could easily adopt into our life is this practice of blessing. Now, when you hear the word blessing, what do you think of? What are potential ways that you could be blessings? Or what do you think the word blessing means? Anybody? Kiddos, any thoughts on what the word blessing means? Yeah. Get something that you don't deserve. That's great. What else? Anything? A blessing? Any other thoughts on what a blessing might be? Adults? Yes.
I think of somebody giving something.
Somebody giving something. Yeah.
Lightening someone's load.
Great, great word. I mean, great definition of it. And that's literally, in some ways, the exact definition. It's to lighten somebody's load or to help strengthen them when they have no strength.
Putting happiness in someone else's
lives. I think those are all great things to think about when we think about blessing. And I do think there are three ways that we can think about blessing. We can think of a gift, we can think of a word of affirmation, and we can think of an act of kindness. When you think about the story of Jesus being with children, at the end of it, it said, he blessed them. In some ways, he gave them a word of affirmation. Additionally, you could say he showed them an act of kindness and a gift. He brought them into himself and showed them that they had significant amount of value in the world, and especially to him. And so he allowed them to come near to him. He allowed them to talk. He allowed them to play. He allowed them to interact. And by doing so, it was a blessing to those kids. But I think we could also probably look throughout the course of Jesus' life and think of hundreds of other ways that Jesus was a blessing. He gave gifts. He affirmed. I love this act, this thought of affirmation. Sometimes the best thing that we can do for someone else is to look at them and say, you have value and you have worth. And somebody that's not yet a Christ follower, to look in them and call out in them the image of God, to tell them, you remind me of my God in this way, or you are incredibly kind. Even this morning, as I was, I tried to be a blessing to the woman that was giving me my rental car, and she, I almost started crying there, because she was speaking in sign language, I guess it would have been yesterday, she was speaking in sign language to another family that was there, that was had a hearing impairment, and she said, man, this, I spent 6 months learning sign language, and I was so excited to use it today, and oh, my heart just fell apart. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this brings me so much joy. I just recently read a story about how in a neighborhood there was a young lady that had a hearing impairment. And every neighbor in that neighborhood went and took a sign language class so that they could interact with the little girl in their neighborhood. And I just warmed my heart. Like, that is an act of blessing. And there's lots of things that we can do as an act of kindness. Some of the ways that we've done this in our own life, in the place that we've been sent, is just recently we purchased a gift card to Starbucks for our superintendent, and we did a card, and we just asked a few of our neighbors to sign the card telling our building superintendent how much we appreciate him. My daughter and I just recently took a flower up to a single woman in her mid-70s that lives alone in our building, and we got a big flower and a little card. And we all just signed it and just said, you know, Happy New Year to you. We just brought it up to her. We brought it up to her. My daughter presented it to her. And she just fell apart, started crying, because she has nobody that remembers her, thinks about her. And so these are just little thoughts and little acts of kindness. Another thing that we've done as a family is we created this little thing called a blessing envelope. And I don't want to tell you all my secrets, but I'll tell you some. This was a blessing envelope. And so we stuck this in a little journal that we had. And every week and every 2 weeks and every pay period, we tried to put some money in there. And that became our blessing envelope. And we kept it on our kitchen table. And we allowed our family prayed about where we were going to spend this money. And we allowed our children to make the decision on how that money was to be spent. Now, occasionally the ice cream truck would roll around. And they'd be like, do we have any money? I'm like, we don't have any cash. And they're like, oh, what about the blessing envelope? And I'm like, it's not for that. So occasionally I had to remind them of that. But we had this blessing envelope, and we allowed our kids just to pick whatever they felt the need, just to continue to encourage them to try to hear from God and to actually do something about it. Yes, we could have said, hey, we're supporting this cause, family. I'm going to write the check, and it's going to get auto-debited or whatever, this or that. But no, we try to be more intentional and allow them to be able to get their hands dirty, to be able to participate in mission in some form or fashion. So this is blessing. Another thing that we have done in the midst of blessing is it's actually changed the way we pray. Because as a family, we want to bless. And so one of the things that we've done is we begin to pray this prayer regularly. God, today, in the place we have been sent, where are you at work? And how can we join you in being a blessing? Just a simple prayer that we've begun to pray regularly. This could be a prayer that is prayed as you're getting ready in the morning. It could be a prayer that is prayed as you're in the car going to school that day. It's a prayer that can be prayed as you're on your way to work. As you're walking to school, early in the morning, as you're eating breakfast as a family, whatever it might be, this is something very simple that you could print out and just say, hey, this is our prayer today. God, today, in this place, the place that we've been sent, where are you working? Because we want to join you in it. So every single week, we are trying to bless two times. We're trying to bless somebody that is a part of our faith community. maybe somebody in our small group, somebody in our church, somebody in our missional community, someone in a discipleship group of some sort. And then we're trying to bless somebody that is not yet a Christ follower in the place that we've been sent. We're praying about this, and I promise you that as you begin to pray this, and as your eyes begin to change, and as you put on a new pair of glasses to be able to see the world as a pair of glasses that's like, okay, God, where are you working? I want to join you in being a blessing. You'll never cease to be amazed at the opportunities that are right in front of us every single day to join God in lightening someone's load by providing them strength, by giving them a gift, speaking a word of encouragement or affirmation, or doing an act of kindness.